Thank you for joining me on this episode of Highway Spec. My name is Trent. We're going to do a hot take today, and this is mine. All right, so my hot take is 10 supercars that should have been built. These are all concept cars that had no direct correlation with a vehicle that was built later and incorporated heavy amounts of that design or those engines or something like that. So I wanted these to be clean concepts that never made it to production. And originally I came up with 23 cars.
23?
23 cars is too many for one video, so I separated them between supercars and the more everyday cars. Starting off, I actually had to change this one at the last minute, and that was the M1 homage. And I changed this one because I didn't realize how much of that design language actually translated to the BMW i8. There was a significant amount of shared design elements, so I struck that one at the last minute and substituted another BMW, and that is the BMW Vision M Next. This concept debuted in 2019 and used a four-cylinder turbocharged motor with a hybrid system, making 600 horsepower, doing 0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 3 seconds, and it used the same butterfly-style doors as the BMW i8 did, and it throws back to some of those 80s design elements with the strakes in the back window. So yes, the BMW i8 influenced this concept quite a bit, however, there was nothing that came out after that. BMW has really pivoted away from the supercar model, which I find unfortunate because the halo effect is real. So the halo effect is an automaker has a high-end vehicle that not many people can buy. However, it inspires other people to buy vehicles in their lineup. For example, how many people bought an Audi TT when they couldn't afford an R8? Because it looks similar, BMW seems to be going in the complete opposite direction of this concept at this point in time, and that's where I think BMW should have built this so that we could stay grounded into the BMWs of old rather than the BMWs of the future. Next up is the Mazda Furay. Now this is a very cool race-specific vehicle based on a Le Mans chassis, but if they made a street-going version of this, this would be epic. Now it did make its way into several video games, namely Real Racing 3, Gran Turismo, Forza, CSR Racing, Grid, and Hot Wheels even made a die-cast toy of it. But given the time frame that this was built, back in late 2007, early 2008, this would have been the perfect time for Mazda to establish themselves as a more serious sports car company. Think about it, at the time, the Mazda Speed 3, the Mazda Speed 6, even the Mazda Speed Miata was all out around this time. To have a supercar at the top of that range would have been huge for Mazda in terms of selling some of those other cars. Now, of course, Mazda has pivoted away from the rotary motor, which this vehicle did have, and they've also strayed a little bit away from their sports roots, although they do still offer the MX-5 Miata. I think this would have significantly changed the trajectory of Mazda over the years. Already, they're not a huge manufacturer, so why not lean into that niche and go with a sportier side of things. Next up is the Maserati Birdcage 75th. Now this does harken back to the Maserati Tipo 60-61 Birdcage, but this was a more modern concept vehicle based on the MC12 or the Ferrari Enzo. And if you've looked at the prices of any of those vehicles lately, you know that if Maserati had built this, the price would have gone through the roof. That said, could 2005 Maserati sell enough of these to justify it? Maybe not. This would have surely been a super limited production model, as the MC12 was. This, I think, would have today been incredibly desirable. Next up is the Lamborghini Miura concept. This debuted in 2006 to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the original Miura concept back in 1966, and it has a very modern take on the retro design, which I love. I think this is absolutely beautiful, and was to be powered by the LP640 motor, so it would have a beautiful sounding V12 soundtrack behind it. What I find really funny is then CEO Stefan Winkelmann said, "Retro design is not what we're here for. This is just to commemorate the 40th anniversary of the Miura." What happened about a decade later is we got to see the Lamborghini Countach, which is very much a retro design. So this Miura concept, based on the Murcielago, was axed for the same reason they brought the Countach back, based on the Aventador. So next up, we have the Audi Avis Quattro concept. This was revealed in 1991, showing an all-aluminum architecture, which did eventually make its way to the 1994 Audi A8. But it was to use a 6-liter W12 before they were available, and unfortunately, the concept had a wooden mock-up of the motor, saying the motor was still in development. Later, those W12s wouldn't come out until about 10 years later. But look at some of the unique things that were on this vehicle. The all-aluminum architecture, it had 3 lockable differentials, rear wheel steering, and a NACA duct on the roof to help get air to that W12. This is very much inspired by the Auto Union cars of the 1930s, and I think this would have been so epic to have nowadays. Next up, we have a vehicle that I thought was really cool and I thought for sure was going to come out, and that is the Lamborghini Astoque. This is a 4-door supercar, which at the time was pretty well unheard of. Yes, other manufacturers did try this, like Aston Martin. However, I think Lamborghini could have executed it in a way that nobody else could have. So back in 2008, this was going to be powered by the 5.2-liter V10 from the Lamborghini Gallardo, although there were rumors that it could be replaced with a V12 or even a V8 at some point. And to have that aggressive Lamborghini front end in a regular 4-door sedan, that would be epic. Unfortunately, this vehicle never came to fruition, although Lamborghini obviously did get into the 4-door market eventually with the Lamborghini Urus. Next up, we have the Chrysler ME412. This was developed at a time when you had the Dodge Viper, the Dodge Neon SRT4, and the Dodge Ram SRT10. Now Chrysler, I don't know what they're doing. They have a minivan. But at the time, ME stood for mid-engine, 4 for 4 turbochargers, and 12 for cylinders. A quad turbocharged 12-cylinder anything sounds epic. This was also backed by a 7-speed dual clutch transmission, which in 2004 was incredible. Originally, it debuted as just a concept vehicle that was non-functional. Eventually, a team was tasked to build a functional model. The body was made out of carbon fiber, and it was supposed to produce 850 horsepower, which at the time would have been unheard of. And it would have gone 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds, cover the quarter mile in 10.6 seconds, and the estimated top speed would have been 248 miles per hour.
That's a lot.
Tell me this would not have changed the trajectory of Chrysler. This would have also allowed them to move more upmarket to differentiate themselves from Dodge.
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties.
Okay, so I left the last two vehicles for last on purpose, and it was really hard to decide which one is number two, which one is number one, and they're both epic supercar concept vehicles. So going with number two, I'm gonna have to pick the Jaguar CX-75. This was made famous by being in the film Spectre, the 24th James Bond film. It had 4 electric motors, an all-electric range of 31 miles. What was really interesting is the batteries were recharged by a diesel-fed micro gas turbine engine, 2 of them actually, instead of your traditional 4-stroke motor. Would have made 780 horsepower and 1,100 pound-feet of torque. And these micro gas turbine engines would have allowed the vehicle to travel up to 559 miles while only producing 28 grams of CO2 per kilometer. As time went on, obviously those micro gas turbine engines didn't end up making the cut, and Jaguar announced that traditional force injection engine was going to be in its place, and there would only be 2 electric motors rather than 1 at each wheel. And despite announcing they were going to make 250 of them at a price of anywhere from 800,000 pounds to 1 million pounds, Jaguar eventually shelved the project. And although Spectre was released after the cancellation of the CX-75, Jaguar came out and said, look, it doesn't change our plans, we just wanted to showcase how cool this car was. Alright, this is one where I think a lot of people would agree with me. If you've been to the comments section, you know that not everybody agrees with what I say. And that's okay. But this one I think is going to have a lot of people nodding their head in agreement, and that is the Ford GT90. This was unveiled in 1995 and was made famous, at least in my mind, by the Need for Speed series. It used a 5.9-liter 48-valve V12, making an estimated 720 horsepower. And of course, you can't forget some turbochargers on there. So this is based on the same architecture as the 4.6-liter V8, obviously changed the bore and stroke. and then, of course, added more cylinders. It was backed by a 5-speed manual transmission, and considering this is 1995, 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds for a streetable vehicle would be unheard of. The top speed was listed at 253 miles per hour, and it shared many of the same components as the Jaguar XJ220. Now, Jaguar, of course, originally said it was going to be a V12 XJ220. They eventually changed it to the 6-cylinder. I think this was a secret way for them to slap a V12 back in that XJ220 chassis. Eventually, the Ford GT did come out, the second generation. However, this, I think, would have been an epic car at the time. So there you have it. That's my list of 10 supercar concept cars that should have been made into production vehicles. What do you think of the list? What would you change? What would you kick off the list? And if you like videos like these, please consider subscribing, and I will catch you on the next one.